Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 14, Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes, page 40, 114, 76 through 90. Sometimes, taking her son with her, Mother Sachi would lie down on her bed, and she would see that denizens of the celestial world had come there, filling the entire house. Once Mother Sachi told the Lord, "Please go call your father." Receiving this order from his mother, the Lord went out to call him. When the child was going out, there was a tinkling of ankle bells from his lotus feet. Hearing this, his father and mother were struck with wonder. Jagannath Mishra said, "This is a very wonderful incident. Why is there a sound of ankle bells from the bare feet of my child?" Mother Sachi said, "I also saw another wonder. People were coming down from the celestial kingdom and crowding the entire courtyard. They made noisy sounds I could not understand. I guess they are offering prayers to somebody." Jagannath Mishra replied, "Never mind what it is. There's no need to worry. Let there always be good fortune for Vishwambara. This is all I want." On another occasion, Jagannath Mishra, seeing the mischievous acts of his son, gave him lessons in morality after rebuking him greatly. On that very night, Jagannath Mishra dreamt that a Brahmin had come before him speaking these words in great anger. "My dear Mishra, you do not know anything about your son. You think him your son, and therefore you rebuke and chastise him." Jagannath Mishra replied, This boy may be a demigod, a mystic yogi, or a great saintly person. It doesn't matter what he is, for I think he is only my son. It is the duty of a father to educate his son in both religion and morality. If I do not give him this education, how will he know of it?" The Brahmin replied, "If your son is a transcendental mystic boy with self-effulgent perfect knowledge, what is the use of your education?" Jagannath Mishra replied, "Even if my son is not a common man, but Narayana, still it is the duty of a father to instruct his son." In this way, Jagannath Mishra and the Brahmin discussed the principles of religion in the dream. Yet Jagannath Mishra was absorbed in unalloyed parental mellow and did not want to know anything else. Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.45, it is said, "Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped with exalted hymns by all the Vedas and Upanishads, and by great personalities through Shankhya Yoga in the mode of goodness, was considered by Mother Jashoda and Nanda to be their own little son." Similarly, Jagannath Mishra also considered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his beloved little boy, although he is worshipped with all veneration by learned Brahmins and saintly persons. 1.14.91-94. Being very pleased, the Brahmana left after talking with Jagannath Mishra. And when Jagannath Mishra awakened from his dream, he was very much astonished. He related the dream to his friends and relatives, and any one of them was very much astonished to hear of it. In this way, Gaurahari performed his childhood pastimes day after day. And day after day increased the pleasure of his parents. Because it's all about the rasa, it's all about this interaction. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the main thing. This other aspect is, yes, he's the Supreme Lord, he knows everything and this and that. But that's not the main point of the rasa. It means it is, yes, in Vaikuntha it will be, because being the Supreme Lord, they're respecting that position of the Lord. And based on that, then the Lord reciprocates with them. But here we see then in Goloka, then it'll be based off of human pastimes. Whereas then he's playing the part of, in this case, the son of Jagannath Misra. And so being the son, naturally then, is the father's duty to correct the son, to educate him, to chastise him, to show him what to do, what not to do. And so that's the whole point. You can say whatever else there is, but that doesn't matter. This is the relationship of the parents with the child. So that's the main point that's there. Right? So that's the aspect. Yeah.
Maharaj,
yeah.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is less than 5 years, no?
Yeah, this is the Kumara pastimes, right?
Yes.
Yes, so then it's natural. You're going to, because they'll play, they'll run around, they'll do all kinds of mischievous things. So then you have to correct them. Like you said, he has to teach them in Dharma and morality. So morality are the things you avoid and all that, and the Dharma is what you should be doing. Like that. So, yeah. So then that is his relationship, that's his duty, that's his service. And so he's doing that. And so he doesn't really care, you know, what his position is, because that doesn't really matter. You know, it's not that the parent, or, you know, like the mother, when as the child grows, that it doesn't actually matter what their position is. Still, that personal relationship and things to be considered in that are they remain the same. Right? You know, certain skills and this and that doesn't make as much importance for the mother. Father, a little bit, will consider it. You know? Like that. But you know, but in the personal interaction, it doesn't matter. So that's the whole thing. That's why he says the Brahmin was very pleased. Because he was fixed in that. Because in Dwarka, if you bring this point up, they'll shift into that mood. But you see in Braj, even though they bring it up, it doesn't matter. So that's the thing.
But now, how is it possible to understand that the discussion was in a dream?
Why can't it be in a dream? You don't like dreams.
No.
There's always this crazy pumpkin chasing you. Do not appreciate the dreams.
What type of how it's possible in a dream that this person?
But the transcendental things can happen there, because the point is Krishna is all three states of existence. Right? He's waking, he's sleeping, he's deep sleep. So it doesn't matter. He can manifest in all these. Right? Somebody says, because if it's in a dream, then also it's something you can talk about and this and that. You know. Well, you know, this Brahma just came along, then it would be a whole different story. But in the dream, then he can say whatever is his mood. So it works very nicely as a dream. So, after some days, Jagannath Misra inaugurated the primary education of his son by performing the Hatha Kari ceremony. Within a very few days, the Lord learned all the letters and combinations of letters. Srila Prabhupada. The 12 phala, or combinations of letters, are called Ripa, Murdanya, Cerebral. Murdanya, Na. Okay. Dantavya, Dental, Na. Ma, Ya, Ra, La, Va, Ri, Li, Ri. Yeah. Hatekadi is the primary educational beginning. Like that. Yeah, so it shows all these. Yeah, we don't. Now, before, if you look in the old books, then it had all of these. Now they drop off the long Ri, Lri, and Lri, because they say it's not there.
Which is that?
Huh?
Which is that? Just now you pronounced those. From here?
You have Ri, right? And then Ri. Then Lri, and Lri. Yeah, because we use them all the time in our mantras. And that. like that. But, you know, because those aren't you working in these fields, then they don't see them, so then they figure they're not important. Since Brahmins chant Vedic mantras, they use it all the time. It may not be in Bhagavad Gita, but...
Vedic Sanskrit
uses this. Mm-hmm. And probably some in the classical, but most of the time you don't see it. But it's there.
Some of the...
Like Agni Mi Ile, that right there. That's the first, the opening verse of the first verse of the Yajurveda. Okay. So, yeah. These things are there.
Some of the other languages also have Indian languages.
They also use them in the other Indian languages. Okay.
Telugu has 56.
Sorry?
Telugu has 56 alphabet. It has.
Oh, okay. Funny, because Tamil only has, like, you know, 3 or something. Because yeah. They take, you know, they take one varga, you know, cha-cha, ja-ja, na, and that's one letter. Ta-ta-da-da-na, one letter. Like that. It's weird. Hatekari is the primary educational beginning. At the age of 4 or 5 years, on an auspicious day called Vidyarambha, marking the beginning of primary education, there's a ceremony worshipping Lord Vishnu, and after that the teacher gives the child a long chalk pencil. Then, guiding the hand of the student, he instructs them how to write the letters of the alphabet, A, A, E, E, etc. By writing big letters on the floor, when the child is a little advanced in writing, he is given a slate for his primary education, which ends when he learns the two-letter combinations, which are called phala, as mentioned above. Yeah, because you're going to have also is that you have to, you, letters go together. Like, you know, like you have ksha. You know, so it's like this. You learn all the individual letters, and then you learn the main combination letters, or all the combinations, and then now you've learned the writing. So you can read, you can write. So there's nothing that'll be there that you can't read or write. You may not understand it, but you can read or write it.
Yeah, because in Devanagari, it's not just putting two letters after each other. They merge into
each other. They merge, yes. So that's why it changes like that. Especially, but you can kind of tell what it is. But like in Bengali, when they change, you can't even tell what they're from. Yeah. So unless you learn them, you won't know.
Learning means when you write, like if you write, not type, but write in English, they also merge.
No, but there's still individual letters. That there's no ones together. We don't use them. There's old ones, like some of the old, like in Gaelic and all these other ones like that. You have A's and E's together. I think you still have them up
in
north.
Denmark, yeah, we have.
Yeah, you still have.
That's a letter. That's A-E.
Yeah, and it has a particular sound and all that. So it was there. But somehow another crossing the channel that kind of got lost. Yeah, so you have like that. So that's what it means, is it's two different sounds that when put together, it gives a different kind of...
Like that. When the Vikings came over, it's not exactly the scholars that came.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't that when they arrived, then England became a seat of learning.
It became concise.
Yes.
Streamlined a few things
until I think the War of the Roses, and then I think they worked it out at that time. Yes. Okay, 1495-97. So, in other words, we see is that Lord Chaitanya is going through all the different ceremonies that are there. So we can say is, oh, these are mundane, but the Lord's going through them. They're the pastimes, you know. Does that make sense? We could call it also breathing is mundane, but we don't stop that. You know? So it's like, you know, we kind of pick and choose what. In other words, if it's a mundane we're used to, we don't even notice it, so we just go on with it as if it's transcendental. If it's different from what we've done, then we notice it, and then we will then decide whether, you know, this is something that I will accept or not, because morality is based on my likes and dislikes, right? Like that. Yeah. So we see his ears, it's done, and Prabhupada goes to the detail of pointing out what's there so you know what it is. He explains them all. He doesn't just say it happened. He explains it. 1495-97. This is a synopsis of the childhood pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, placed herewith in chronological order. Vrindavan Das Thakur has already elaborately explained these pastimes in his book Chaitanya Bhagavat. I have therefore only made a brief summary. Being afraid of repetition, I have not elaborated upon this subject matter. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. In his chapter summaries of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda chapters 4 through 6, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, Sri Gaurachandra daily manifests wonderful childhood pastimes and increased the happiness of Sachi and Jagannath. Sri Vishwarup, the incarnation of Sankarsana, also served Gaurahari by holding him on his lap. The relatives who were filled with parental affection for Gaura Gopal displayed their intense affection for him by chanting Vishnu Raksha or Devi Raksha mantras, Aparajita stotras, and Nrisingha mantras to protect him. Surrounded by relatives and accompanied by singing and playing of musical instruments, Sachi Devi observed the ceremony marking the beginning of the Lord's crawling by worshipping the Ganges and goddess Shasti, thus exhibiting her unalloyed paternal affection for the Lord. Right, so you could look at it that, oh, we have these 10 samskaras, that's so much, that's over the top, that's smarta and all that. There's actually about 40 or more samskaras. Mm-hmm. And as we see from here and in the Krishna book, Mother Jashoda liked to perform however many of them, you know, she could do. So we're only being asked to do 10, right? Does that make sense? You know, it's like the Chaturmasya vows. Then, you know, main vows is, oh, you know, 40 main vows and another 20 or 30 secondary vows. We're only asked to follow 4. You know, no spinach, you know, no milk during that month, no yogurt, and no urad dal. And so, unless you're South Indian, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, what do they do with no urad dal?
Yeah. Well, the worst will be the no curd, because that they can, because otherwise you can't eat, you know, rava and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, and I heard they just put a little water into it, and it's not yogurt.
That's still yogurt, unless you cook it. It's still yogurt.
Nice try.
It has to be cooked. Because then it does, then it's heating. If you make yogurt and you boil it, like curry, it creates heat in the body instead of cooling.
Okay, we talked about this one about lettuce.
Huh?
Is the spinach around?
Yeah, it's spinach. It means the raw leafy vegetables. So that's the problem. If you come up with these things, then it's like the end of the world. You know, if you said, you know, no pumpkin. You know,
no corona.
Yeah, you know, like that. But, you know, then it might have been something else. But, you know, okay. For this month, only eating cookies. Like that. You know, so it would have worked. You know, like that. I used to say, very strict. 1 month only pasta. 1 month only pizza. 1 month only, you know, eggplant parmesan. And like this, then you know, it would have. People would be very strict in following, like that.
Sorry, I'm on my pizza, brother.
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah. So here, then, there's one where he starts crawling, right? There's the one where they roll over, right? And then, you know, so that's generally that, then they would crawl and stuff like that, you know, but whatever, it comes along, and then they start crawling. So you have, when they roll over, when they crawl, all these different ones are there. So there's so many of them. But we're, you know, we only talk about 10. Like that. On the pretext of crying, the child Gaura induced everyone to chant the names of Hari and thus filled the house of Sachi with the name of Krishna. One time in the absence of his parents, the four-month-old Gaura Gopal scattered all the items in the house about the floor. When he understood that his mother was returning, he immediately lay in bed and cried. Mother Sachi stopped the child from crying by chanting the names of Hari, and was then surprised to see the mess in the house. In parental affection, Jagannath Mishra and the other elder devotees concluded that the mess was certainly not made by the child, rather some invisible demon being unable to harm the child. who is protected by mantra, caused a heavy loss by scattering the items about the house in order to satisfy his anger, right? So he came to attack the child, but because he was protected so nicely by all the mantras, then he couldn't, so in anger he just messed the house up.
Seems possible.
Hmm? Seems possible. Yeah, definitely. Eventually, when the time arrived for Nimai's name-giving ceremony, the greatly learned Nilambar Chakravarti and the chaste women who were full of affection for Gaura all assembled at the house of Sachi. Due to the advent of the child, the whole country became jubilant. Everyone's miseries were mitigated. Devotion reigned on the fertile soil of the people of the world, and the lack of kirtan was eliminated. Therefore, after careful consideration, the learned scholars gave Gaurahari the name Vishwambhara. The name of Vishwambhara is also found in the Supreme Lord's other incarnations, who maintain the universe. According to the calculation of his horoscope, Gaurahari was ascertained to be the source of all Vishnu tattvas and the original personality of Godhead. The chaste women, who were filled with paternal affection, desired a long life for the child. So they named the child Nimai in order to discourage death from approaching him, right? Because the Nim is, you know, is auspicious, keeps everything away, like that. So this, so here is now, means one knows astrology, one can make charts. Now, if you can tell from the chart how the Lord is the source of all Vishnu incarnations,
yes,
then we can say you know your stuff. Right? You know.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah, you know, if you can only tell that. Okay, well, this boy or girl should marry a banana tree. Then it's good, it's important, useful, but, you know, it's not as much as these astrologers could do. Therefore, the name Vishwambhara, given by the learned scholars, is the primary name, and the name Nimai, given by the chaste ladies, is secondary. During the name-giving ceremony, Jagannath Mishra placed rice paddy, puffed rice, gold, silver, and Srimad Bhagavatam in front of Nimai in order to ascertain the child's propensities. Rather than grabbing the business items, rice paddy, puffed rice, gold, and silver, meant for the Vaishya community, Nimai grabbed the Srimad Bhagavatam and identified himself as a Brahmana. As Nimai grew up, he attracted everyone with his crawling pastimes. One day, Gaur Narayan saw the snake Sesha in the courtyard. After playing with him for a while, the Lord exhibited his pastimes of resting on the bed of Sesha by lying in the coils of the snake. When everyone began to cry in fear of Nimai's danger from the snake left on his own accord. Seeing Nimai's enchanting beauty, Sachi and Jagannath considered that he was some great personality. As soon as the child Nimai heard the name of Hari, he would immediately smile and begin to dance. Otherwise, he would continue to cry until he heard the name of Hari. Therefore, from the time of sunrise, the ladies would surround the child and loudly chant the names of Hari while clapping their hands. And Nimai would respond by dancing and rolling on the ground. When both strangers and acquaintances were captivated by the Lord's beauty and offered him sweets and bananas, the Lord would bring those foodstuffs and distribute them as prasad to the ladies who were engaged in chanting the names of Hari. Sometimes Nimai displayed the pastimes of entering a neighbor's house to drink milk or eat and spoil the household items. One day, as Nimai was playing outside, because you see children, they get things they like to share, things like that. It's a natural thing to do. One day, as Nimai was playing outside his house, two thieves kidnapped him out of greed to steal the child Gora's ornaments. Later, being bewildered by the illusory energy of Vishnu, the thieves returned the Lord to the house of Jagannath Mishra. When Jagannath Mishra and others present heard Nimai describe his kidnapping, they could not understand what had happened due to the Lord's illusory energy. Right, so they did not understand how the Lord bewildered them and brought them back like that. One day, Sri Jagannath Mishra ordered his son to bring a book from the house. As Nimai went in the house to bring the book, Sachi and Jagannath heard the pleasing sound of ankle bells. After Vishwambhara brought the book and went out to play, the Brahmin couple saw footprints marked with a flag, thunderbolt, goad, and banner in their house. But due to the nature of parental affection, they could not understand that those footprints belonged to their own jewel-like son. Rather, they concluded that their family deity, Sri Damodar Shaligram, had walked about the house unseen. Thinking in this way, they arranged an abhishek, a special offering, and worship for their deity, Lord Damodar. Right, so they see if the Lord went walking around, so then they arranged a special program. Right. Sri Jagannath Mishra had Gaur-Gopal samskars, or reformatory rites, of Hate Kare, Karna Beda, and Chuda Karna performed. Nimai could write, so yeah, Karna Beda is where they pierce the ears, and then the Chuda Karna is where they shave the head. Nimai could write the letters of the alphabet just by seeing them once. Within two or three days, he was able to write conjunct letters and words. He would continually read and write Krishna's names. Sometimes Gaur-Gopal pleaded for his parents to give him birds flying in the sky or the stars and moon from the sky. When he did not receive these things, he began to cry. Then there was no way to solace the child other than by chanting the names of Hari. One day, however, Nimai did not stop crying in spite of everyone repeatedly chanting the names of Hari. When they inquired from Nimai about the cause of his crying, they learned that Nimai was displaying his pastime of crying in order to eat foodstuffs offered to Vishnu on the day of Ekadasi in the house of the two Brahmins, Jagadish and Hiranyapandit of Navadvip. The relatives of Nimai solaced him by promising him Vishnu's remnants. They went to the house of those two great devotees and related to them the whole story. Considering Nimai an extraordinary personality, the two Brahmins then gave him the foods that they had offered to Vishnu. As a result, Nimai stopped crying. So then the chanting of the holy names or the honoring of prasad, like this, you know, so then these things were making the Lord happy and distributing prasad themselves. Nimai exhibited various mischievous pastimes like teasing his friends, quarreling with them, and sporting in the Ganges water at midday. The elderly men of Navadvip regularly came to Jagannath Mishra to complain about Nimai's misbehavior. And the young girls would similarly come to Mother Sachi to complain about Nimai's various mischievous activities. Sachi Devi, however, solaced everyone with her sweet words. After hearing about the disturbance caused by Nimai, Jagannath Mishra went to the bank of the Ganges at midday to appropriately punish his son. When Nimai heard that his father was approaching in an angry mood, he rushed home by another path. He told his friends that if his father inquired about him, they should say, "Today Nimai has not come from bathing in the Ganges." When Jagannath Mishra did not see Nimai at the bathing ghat, he returned home, where he saw Nimai decorated with marks of ink and looking as though he had not taken bath. Jagannath Mishra was overwhelmed with love and could not understand the boy's trickery. Right, so that'll be fun, because, you know, some trick is there, but it's done in affection, and the response is in affection. So it just adds to the relationship. When he asked the boy about the complaints, the young Nimai replied, "I did not go to bathe in the Ganges yet, but they nevertheless falsely accused me of misbehavior." Right, so he's down there, taking he's making trouble. The news gets back to Jagannath Mishra. So then he goes down there, and then Nimai then says, "Oh, I haven't even gone. See, they're talking anyway." So now I will actually misbehave with them.
Yes.
In this way, Nimai exhibited his clever pastimes and returned to bathe in the Ganges. Meanwhile, Sachi and Jagannath thought, "Who is this boy? Has Krishna secretly appeared in our house?" Conclusion. Things that are very difficult to do become easy to execute if one somehow or other simply remembers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if one does not remember him, even easy things become very difficult. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances. Chapter 15. The Lord's Paugandha Lila. Particular. The Vaishnava accepts everything favorable for executing his mission. Adhyaya Prakashika. The 15th briefly describes the Lord's boyhood pastimes. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, 17, 326. The synopsis of the 15th chapter is as follows. The Lord took lessons in grammar from Gangadas Pandit and became very expert in commenting upon grammar. He forbade his mother to take grains on the Ekadasi day. He narrated a story that Vishwarup, after accepting the sannyas order, invited him in a dream to accept sannyas also. But the Lord refused and was therefore sent back home. When Jagannath Mishra passed away, the Lord married the daughter of Vallabhacharya, whose name was Lakshmi. All these events are summarized in this chapter. Shlokanusharanam. verses 1 to 34, Lord Chaitanya's Pauganda Lila, age 5 to 10, 115, 1 to 5. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, because simply by offering a flower at his lotus feet, even the most ardent materialist becomes a devotee. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to the devotees, all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Let me now enumerate the activities of the Lord between the ages of 5 and 10. His chief occupation during this period was to engage himself in study. The pastimes of the Lord during his Pauganda age are very extensive. His education was his chief occupation, and after that his very beautiful marriage took place. When the Lord was studying grammar at the place of Gangadas Pandit, he would immediately learn grammatical rules and definitions by heart simply by hearing them once. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the Lord was given lessons by a teacher named Vishnu and another teacher named Sudarshana. Later on, when he was a little grown up, he was under the care of Gangadas Pandit, who taught him grammar of a higher standard. Anyone serious about studying the Sanskrit language should first learn grammar. It is said that simply to finish studying Sanskrit grammar takes at least 12 years. But once one learns the grammatical rules and regulations very nicely, all of the scriptures or subject matters in Sanskrit are extremely easy to understand. For Sanskrit grammar is the gateway to education, right? So that's why it's considered the Vedanga. It's because the Veda is there, but then the knowing the language, you know, so the grammar and the vocabulary, these then that from that then it's the gateway to understanding the Veda. Yes.
Grammar is just Vyakarana or Vyakarana Nirukta and Chandas all together.
Means, well, you'd have the main point is this, is the grammar is how it's all held together. And from the grammar, then the words are produced and everything. So then the nirukta will be how they're being used, all the various aspects. But otherwise, even how you start with the root, you know, which has a meaning, and then goes out from there, that will all be learned in the grammar. Does that make sense? So in one sense, they all go together, but it does have the four parts. Because then you're going to apply the words into a meter. You know, you're going to have that. Then you're going to have the, you know, how you pronounce. So the opening of learning grammar is how to pronounce everything. How the letters are pronounced, how when they go together, what they do. Because when you put two letters together, then they may change. So all those things are all learned. That's the opening chapter. You learn that. Then you go into all the other things. So it is four different aspects, but generally they're all learned together. Focus is on the grammar. Because you learn to read, learn how to pronounce everything so that you can deal with the grammar. By learning the grammar, then you understand how the vocabulary works. Then you see how the, you know, the great personalities have used it and defined it. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah. And then the chanda will just be the meter that it's put into. Does that make sense? Because specifically the chanda doesn't change the meaning like that. It's just how to use it nicely, the poetics and everything like that.
Also for chanting the mantras, then putting it in a particular chanda, it makes it more poetic.
Yes, it just makes it very nice, it makes it pleasant. You're trying to make it attractive, classical. The Vedic already has its meter and everything, so there's nothing to develop there. You just have to learn how to chant it properly. So, yeah.
Okay. You can have another engagement for the next 4 years.
Ah, yes.
This will be a 24-year course.
That's okay. Two parts.
Yeah, so 2 12-year
I mean, if you want to be really pukka, you do all the grammar first, and then after that we go into
it. It's too late, so...
But then when we do that, the advantages, except for the comments of the acharyas, you know, like Prabhupada, this in English, everything else we just read in Sanskrit.
Can you imagine how many more books we have?
Yeah. So then we just work straight from the original.
Yes.
Like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
Some actually claim that unless we understand Sancharitamrita, in Bengali, which is poetry, or Bhagavatam in Sanskrit, then rasa is lost, or most of it is lost.
Means the poetic aspect is lost, but the aspect of the Lord and his interaction with the devotees and the transcendental position, that won't be lost. Because how could that get lost? Because the point is that since it's a transcendental thing, you can't describe it with words. So it's the Lord's chit potency that's allowing you to, that is descending into it that allows you to understand. Because the Lord, his name, form, qualities, pastimes are non-different. So that sweetness of the poetics of it, you'll be missing. But the points in that, the technical points, you can gain. And then the rasa, that technically, as far as the transcendental go, that depends upon your individual realization. Because otherwise, then, we're reading all these pastimes very comfortably. Right? Rani's doing this and that, and Krishna does this and that, and all the little details. And we're quite happily going on, narrating them. Everyone's smiling and asking questions, and it's going on. Sukadev Goswami can't mention the name of Radharani without being stunned, and then, the 7 days might elapse, and he hasn't finished speaking Bhagavatam. So we do have to consider that aspect. But as far as the sweetness of how it's put together and all that, that will add to it. And so then one can appreciate it. But it's not because of the poetry that's what's revealing the transcendental position. Does that make sense? So when in other words, it's something to appreciate. Probably, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that devotees will learn Bengali just to appreciate the nectar in just the recitation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that. But that doesn't mean that we won't appreciate. Like you see is that when we're doing the nectar devotion, so many times this is how Prabhupada is explaining it, that poetic aspect, and he's even making it very accessible. Like that. Well, the acharyas, then, they're giving very nice, the grammatical things like that. So poetics is it's a matter of ability. It's not that you can't use it. One Indian gentleman was knew Sanskrit and all that, was saying English has an advantage that it has a wide range of how you can use the words. Due to its lack of grammar, there's also a lack of how things are fixed. So you can use them in so many ways. And so he said in that aspect it's similar to Sanskrit in that, the one word can be used in 10, 12 different ways and bring out different meanings and, different ways you can put it together in the sentence and things like that. So if it's used nicely, it has that advantage. So it's not that you'll necessarily lose too much. Generally the problem comes is when the poetics aren't the problem so much in English. It's like philosophical terms. That are missing. Like Bhagavan, you don't have a word in English for that.
Yeah.
I think that Christianity, from the Latin, you have some technical terms. And that, but the problem is it's technical, but they don't know how to put it all together to get the depth and understanding. Yes, so you don't have to worry that you're losing, but at the same time is that if you know these things, it will add something. It adds more atmosphere to it, more appreciation. Yes, so Sanskrit grammar is the gateway to education. So by knowing that, you can understand what's going on. Because you see, the acharyas are giving explanations in the philosophy according to grammar. Because it's considered one of the main aspects of logic, is how the grammar works. Because that's fixed. Everyone goes by that. And so how the grammar's working, you can explain things logically. So then they'll even point out how things, would be. So they're saying, this means this. But by the grammar of the verse, it doesn't mean that. It'll mean, it'll be the direct meaning. So when they try to give these indirect meanings, they're not following the grammar to do that. They're following grammars that, oh, you could break it here and get a different word.
Yes.
But you have to look at the whole grammar of how it was written, not what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like this pot. I can take it and turn it upside down.
Yes.
But that's not what it was meant for.
Yes.
You know, the water will fall out.
Mm-hmm.
But I could turn it upside down.
Yes.
You know, so
that's what the Mayavadis do.
Yeah, basically. Yes. Turn it upside down, all the water falls out. So that's why it becomes dry. Okay.
Too dry?
Huh?
I guess it's
super dry. Okay. There's a sail on, so it's the catch up one here. 1:15:6. He soon became so expert in commenting on the Panjitika that he would win victory over all other students, although he was the neophyte. Because he was young and just starting in it. Like that, but he was so expert, he could comment and he could defeat anyone else. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there was a commentary on grammar named Panjitika that was later explained very lucidly by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 1:15:7. In his book Chaitanya Mangala, which later became Chaitanya Bhagwat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has very elaborately described the Lord's pastimes of study. Srila Prabhupada. The Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adi Kanda, chapters 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, are a good reference for the studious pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 1:15:8-9. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell down at the feet of his mother and requested her to give him one thing in charity. His mother replied, "Dear son, I will give you whatever you ask." Then the Lord said, "My dear mother, please do not eat grains on the Ekadasi day." Srila Prabhupada. From the very beginning of his childhood life, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the system of observing a fast on the Ekadasi day. In the Bhakti Sandarbha by Srila Jiva Goswami, there's a quotation from the Skanda Purana admonishing that a person who eats grains on Ekadasi becomes a murderer of his mother, father, brother, and spiritual master. And even if he is elevated to a Vaikuntha planet, he falls down. So, eating grains in Ekadasi, not good, right? Okay.
Is this a Vedic or Pancharatrik?
Skanda Purana, so that would probably be the Pancharatrik. I mean, the Vedic also, I'm not sure what's the...
Smart as they follow Ekadasi?
That I'm not sure. I can't say.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Not necessarily.
No. I remember when we were in Udupi, then on Ekadasi, they wouldn't eat rice. You know, so for a South Indian to not eat rice, that's a great austerity. So they would eat wheat. And for them, that's a total freak out. Yeah. Yeah, they didn't get as far as buckwheat. But they're not that, you know, you don't want to be fanatic. So there is some concept of the fasting and things like that, like Navaratri and all that. That won't be a Pancharatrik thing, and people will follow that. So they'll do a fasting, a non-grain fast, but it's whether they're following it on the Ekadasi or not, but they'll definitely do on, you know, different things for different, you know, especially for the demigods and all those things that they're worked in. So all these things that are favorable in devotional service, they'll be worked into the Vedic system. So they're all there. But the difficulty comes up is that they're doing them because of the connection with demigods and the karmakanda benefits they'll get, or the liberation, you know, some kind of dharmartha karma moksha. So Pancharatra, being ekayana, it takes from the Veda, so it has to be a Vedic thing. But it will always be centered around Vishnu. So that'll be the difference between the Vedic and the Pancharatra. Means the Vedic will have the rule and applied in all its wide range. But the Pancharatra will only have the rule applied to Vishnu. So that is the origin of it. So you could say the Pancharatra, that aspect would be the origin, is that it's all centered. And then to accommodate the materialistic mentality of people, but they're willing to follow the Veda, then it's extended out to be demigods and other, you know, you're getting other material benefits. Otherwise, they wouldn't follow.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. So that's yeah. Yes.
This quotation from Skanda Purana seems to imply that one can fall down from the Vaikuntha planet.
If one eats grains on the goddess.
Yeah.
So I guess they don't eat grains on the goddess.
Even if he's elevated to a Vaikuntha planet.
Oh, it would mean that their consciousness has come to that platform, then they could fall down. Because right. Once you're there, I don't think that they necessarily follow it like that. Because you might say, why is this you following? Because, you know, in the spiritual world, they don't need to follow like that. But in Chaitanya Lila sense, they're devotees, then they would be following.
Mm-hmm.
But in Braj and like that, then they don't. Because Ekadasi then is for us to elevate ourselves. But if you're already there in the pastimes, then it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On Ekadasi, everything is cooked for Vishnu, including regular grains and dal. But it is enjoined that a Vaishnav should not even take Vishnu prasadam on Ekadasi. It is said that a Vaishnav does not accept anything eatable that is not offered to Lord Vishnu. But on Ekadasi, a Vaishnav should not touch even Mahaprasad offered to Vishnu, although such prasadam may be kept for being eaten the next day. It is strictly forbidden for one to accept any kind of grade on Ekadasi, even if it is offered to Lord Vishnu. Because otherwise you say, oh, it's prasad, this, that, no rule, you know, like that. But this is how we follow, like that. In Puri, they don't worry about that, but that's in Puri, so, you know. But for us, then, this is how it's been given to us, this is how Lord Chaitanya practiced, that's how he got his... But that's why it's only no grains. Because also, as we said, the list of rules and that for following Ekadasi, it starts from the Dasami, the day before. That after lunch, you don't eat any, you start fasting. You sleep that night, the next morning when you get up, you take your bath, and then you fast from there, and, you know, do your chanting, and you stay up the whole night. And then the next morning, you'll break the fast, you know, like that. It means they eat one grain, but you don't sleep. And then you have lunch. You know, you still don't sleep until sunset. So it's actually a 72-hour vrata.
Hmm?
Yes, and so all we've been asked to do is just not eat grains. You know, oh, this is so fanatic. No. Yeah, don't worry. It's been made simple. Yeah. So just because it's been offered to Krishna doesn't mean that it'll be eaten. So the grains are still not. You can keep them for the next day, eat them the next day. One 15:10. Mother Sachi said, "You have spoken very nicely. I shall not eat grains on Ekadasi." From that day she began to observe fasting on Ekadasi. Srila Prabhupada. It is a prejudice among smart Brahmins that a widow must observe fasting on Ekadasi. But a woman who is sadhava, who has her husband, should not. Right? So it means they have these concepts. They come up with their own ideas, where they come from. It appears that before Lord Chaitanya's request, Sachimata, being sadhava, was not observing Ekadasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, introduced the system that a woman, even if not a widow, must observe the Ekadasi day and must not touch any kinds of grains, even those offered to the deity of Vishnu. One 15:11-14. Thereafter, seeing, so we have to understand how what he's introducing. This is very specifically is our line. Others may do, may not do. That we're not worried about. This is our line,
yes,
because
yes.
Why our line? Because, you know, of the connection to a Braj. You know, if you're interested in other places other than Braj, you can do whatever you like. But if you want to go to Braj, then we generally follow what's given by Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas. Does that make sense? Because even if it's Vedic, the point is it should be Vedic that's within the context of what we use. That's why you start with the Veda, then you have the Smriti, then what is the recommendation, how the great personalities have done. Then the third thing will be what our Acharyas and great personalities, what they've given. you know, in our authorities. And then the fourth is then applying it into your own position.
Yes.
You know, then it makes it very specific.
Yes.
Thereafter, seeing that Vishwarup was a grown-up youth, Jagannath Mishra wanted to find a girl and arrange a marriage ceremony for him. Hearing of this, Vishwarup immediately left home and went away to accept sannyas and travel from one place of pilgrimage to another. When Satyamata and Jagannath Mishra heard of the departure of their elder son, Vishwarup, they were very unhappy. But Lord Chaitanya tried to console them. "My dear mother and father," the Lord said, "it is very good that Vishwarup has accepted the sannyas order, for thus he has delivered both his father's family and his mother's family." Srila Prabhupada. It is sometimes said that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disapproved of the acceptance of the sannyas order in this Kali Yuga, because in the Shastra it is said, in this age of Kali, five acts are forbidden. The offering of a horse in sacrifice, right? So no ashrameda yagyas, so, you know, you have to put that, you know, take that off your bucket list, right? Yeah. The offering of a cow in sacrifice, the gomeda, generally we don't see, we're not so much into that. But Prabhupada mentions that. Were they taking the cow and putting it into the fire,
yes,
you know, by the tail, and then pulling out a calf? Like that? That's all part of these processes. You know, if you can do that, you can chant the mantras for the other things. So since you can't do that, then, yeah. I mean, the acceptance of the order of sannyas, the offer of oblations of flesh to the forefathers, right? Because there's all kinds of things to offer them on the Shraddha. Like that. And so all these different offerings of flesh, none of those are offered. Right? Like that. But the offering of the sweet rice and those things, because it said the best offering of all of them is the offering of sweet rice. Because then they get such a long term, you know, it's one of those you get, you know, you get forever, one like that. It means a long time. Just like you go to the heavenly planets, you're there forever. It means a long time. Like that. But all these others, because all these others anyway, it's nothing, means anything that people eat nowadays aren't offerable anyway. They're not even supposed to be eaten. Right? You know, cows, pigs, chickens, you're not supposed to eat them. Like that. You know, they have their jobs. You let them do their jobs. So, you know, one of the offerings is a porcupine, you know, like that. You know, there's all kinds of far out stuff. But that means you have to go out and shoot it. No? No porcupine. No. And I'm not sure that roadkill would qualify.
It would
please the forefathers.
Yes.
But it's cute.
Huh?
It's cute when it's alive.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Like this offering of flesh to the pitras, basically it should be for the lower caste. Brahmin, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas don't go for that.
In any case, it's not for anyone. But, you know, if they do, then that's there. But the rules for it, still, if they're going to do, they have to have a Brahmin do the program. You know, so the Brahmins will be involved. So if they're, going to do these for the Shudras, then it comes along with it. But the point is that you have these aspects. It's just a matter of, it's just not used. You know, other ages, they might use them. Generally speaking, Vaishnavs wouldn't. But in this age, it's not used, because then, you know, we'll see if people just do anything to, you know, offering your forefathers some KFC chicken nuggets or something, you know, like that. Or, you know, it's not going to work.
Have you met my forefathers?
They would, but whether they would be around for your offering, that, you know, they might be quite busy. They might be quite busy, you know, being tossed off a mountain or something. You know. Okay, and a man's begetting children in his brother's wife. Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Krishna Janmakanda, 185-180. Nevertheless, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas and approved of the sannyas of his elder brother, Vishwarup. Right? But you see, the other four aren't practiced. Right? It is clearly said here, Bhala Haila, Vishwarupa, Sannyasa Karila, Pitrikula, Matrikula, Dui Udarila. Therefore, it should be thought that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made statements Therefore, should it be thought that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made statements that are contradictory? No, actually he did not. It is recommended that one accepts sannyas to dedicate his life for the service of the Lord, and everyone must take that kind of sannyas. For by accepting such sannyas, one renders the best service to both his paternal and maternal families. But one should not accept the sannyas order of the Mayavad school, which has practically no meaning. So in other words, accepting sannyas that's not in the line of the pure Vaishnavas in pursuance of pure devotional service, that's rejected. Right. Because it would just be part of the points you're going through the ashrams, then the other would take sannyas. Yes.
Would it be accepted in other yugas? I mean, wouldn't it be rejected?
Means anyone, whether they're a devotee or not, then at the end of life, if they were Brahmins, they would generally, it means they would at least go into Vanaprastha, but many would go into sannyas. Does that make sense? You know, because it's just, it's one of the duties that you do, so everyone would do. So whether they were Vaishnavas or not, because they would have that piety and that sense control that they could maintain it properly. But in this age, unless one has that potency of, you know, the devotional potency, otherwise how one's going to have that character and qualities to perform those duties? Does that make sense? So it won't be available to the others. And even if they did, what benefit they'll get? You know? Right, because if they're not a devotee and they're sannyas, then people listen to them, and what are they going to talk? Non-devotional stuff. So better it doesn't happen. Right. We find many Mayavadi sannyasis simply loitering in the street, thinking themselves a Brahman or Narayan, and spending all day and night begging so they can fill their hungry bellies. Even though they're Narayan, right? Mayavadi sannyasis have become so degraded that there is a section of them who eat everything just like hogs and dogs. It is such degraded sannyas that is prohibited in this age. Actually, Srila Shankaracharya's principles for the acceptance of sannyas were very strict. But later, the so-called Mayavadi sannyasis became degraded because of their false philosophy, which propounds that by accepting sannyas, one becomes Narayana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that kind of sannyas. But the acceptance of a sannyas is one of the items of the Varnashram Dharma. How then can it be rejected? Right? So it's just because people in this age won't follow properly, and they'll be, you know, wasting their time and so many other things. Just like we even see in Buddhism. Nowadays, how many of those in the Buddhist schools are actually vegetarian? Right? So they also, like this, ate everything, because it's all one, so it doesn't matter. So if that's the case, you could drop a shoe into their bowl, and technically they should chew on it. But there's a good chance they won't. So that's the problem, is that they're not. It's just got degraded. So it's about sense gratification and things like that.
The particular term that the Mayavadis have coined, Daridra Narayan, they have coined it for themselves. As
yes, Daridra Narayan. Yes. 1:15, 15-16. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured his parents that he would serve them, and thus the minds of his father and mother were satisfied. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate betel nuts offered to the deity, but they acted as an intoxicant, and he fell down on the ground unconscious. Srila Prabhupada, betel nuts are an intoxicant, and therefore the regulative principles prohibit eating them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime of fainting after eating betel nuts is a solid instruction to all of us that one should not touch betel nuts, even those offered to Vishnu, just as one should not touch grains on the Ekadasi day. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's fainting had a particular purpose. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can do whatever he likes and eat whatever he wants, but we should not imitate his pastimes. 1:15, 17-22. After his father and mother sprinkled water on his mouth with great haste, the Lord revived and said something wonderful they had never heard before. The Lord said, Vishwaroop took me away from here, and he requested me to accept the sannyas order. I replied to Vishwaroop, I have my helpless father and mother, and also I am but a child. What do I know about the sannyas order of life? Later I shall become a householder, and thus serve my parents. For this action will very much satisfy Lord Narayana and his wife, the goddess of fortune. Then Vishwarupa returned me home and requested, offer thousands and thousands of obeisances unto my mother, Sachidevi. In this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed various pastimes, but why he did so, I cannot understand. Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees who come to this world are executing a mission, and therefore sometimes they act in a way that is very difficult to understand. It is said, therefore, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyeha Na Bhujai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 23:39. Even if one is a very learned and intelligent scholar, he cannot understand the activities of the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava accepts anything favorable for executing his mission. But foolish persons, not knowing the purpose of such exalted Vaishnavas, indulge in criticizing them. That is forbidden. Since no one can understand what a Vaishnava does for the purpose of executing his mission, to criticize such a Vaishnava is the offense called sadhu ninda. Mm-hmm. 1:15:23:29. Right, so Krishna will do all these different pastimes, so it's just a matter of we don't find fault. Right? After some days, Jagannath Mishra passed away from this world to the transcendental world, and both mother and son were very much aggrieved in their hearts. Friends and relatives came there to pacify Lord Chaitanya and his mother. But then Lord Chaitanya even thought he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Lord Chaitanya, even though he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, executed the rituals for his dead father according to the Vedic system. After some days, the Lord thought, I did not take sannyas, and since I am remaining at home, it is my duty to act as a grihastha. Right? Because before, his parents are acting as grihasthas, so he's acting as a brahmachari, as a student, and studying. But now that his father's gone, then he would take care of his mother, so therefore then he would do that as a grihastha.
Yes.
Without a wife, Lord Chaitanya considered, there is no meaning to household life. Right? So, then if you're taking up the duties of household life but there's no wife, then it doesn't really have much meaning. Mm-hmm. So what we can see is Lord Chaitanya is that means the concept of bachelors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is not Lord Chaitanya's popular appreciation of grihastha ashram. So it means these generally is taken, well, they're just brahmacharis who aren't married. No, they're grihasthas who are not married.
Yes.
It should be understood. You know how it works. Thus the Lord decided to marry. Merely a house is not a home, for it is a wife who gives a home its meaning. If one lives at home with his wife, together they can fulfill all the interests of human life. So this point is a house is not a home. Right? That's... Yeah, it's coming from here. Yes.
Once I asked a bachelor, who's a devotee, why he's not getting married. And his answer was, it's very risky. And I was thinking, you're right, it is risky. So it's kind of...
Yeah, but being a bachelor is also risky.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have that fine line between risky and risque. Right? So you have to be very careful. No? Yes. It is risky, but the point is that unless, you know, it means you can do, but then the point is then you should be fully absorbed in sadhana and all that. Because then, typically you'd see in the Vedic, they wouldn't be bachelors, they would just go from brahmachari to vanaprastha. And then that way they're independent, like that. But at the same time, it would be, you know, austerity and studying and teaching and these kind of aspects. You know, traveling to holy places, you know, preaching like this. So that would be then the safe place, because if he says it's risky. So that's the point, is if you're once living a grihastha life, you know, that independent kind of doing what you want, no real authority or any direction, but not being married, it's also, you know, it's not going to be dynamic. It's not going to really nourish the devotional development. You know, if you do service, it'll always be of some benefit. But then they should move more into that more serious. That is, it's about direct devotional service. Because if they're not in the ashram, you know, why are they not in the ashram? You know, so if they're not in the ashram because they want that independence, then they should be using that independence to themselves take up, you know, that they're engaged in these five aspects of devotion, direct aspects nicely, and trying to help others be on that platform. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then, then it's a solid position. But if it's just because they like to hang out and, you know, the hair and the tattoo and, you know, the whole thing like that, that's a bit risky. It's just a matter of, you know, if you're going to function in that position, they might as well start now rather than go along like, no, this and that, and then get married, you know, a lot later, you know. Does that make sense? One day when the Lord was coming back from school, he accidentally saw the daughter of Vallabhacharya on the way to the Ganges. Right, because you would see as Brahmins, they would take their baths during the day, you know, the three times bath. So then the new bath was always there. And that gives rise to all kinds of nice pastimes. In that, right? So. When the Lord and Lakshmi Devi met, their relationship awakened. Having already been settled, and coincidentally, the marriage maker Vanamali came to see Sachimata. Srila Prabhupada. Vanamali Ghataka, a resident of Navadvip and a Brahmin by caste, arranged the marriage of the Lord to Lakshmi Devi. He was formerly Vishwamitra, who negotiated the marriage of Lord Ramachandra. Because you see in here that all these varieties of pastimes are happening. So that's what you see is that, like Jagannath Mishra, then he's leaving early.
Yes.
So Nanda Baba doesn't do that.
Yes.
Right? But we see that Lord Ramachandra's father, Dasarath, he does that.
Yes.
So all these different aspects are there in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like it has all the various aspects of many, many different worlds. He was formerly Vishwamitra who negotiated the marriage of Lord Ramachandra. And later he was the Brahmana who negotiated the marriage of Lord Krishna with Rukmini. Huh, okay, so it seems that he's the one who arranges the marriage. So then for Ramachandra, for Krishna and Dwarka, and now for Lord Chaitanya. That same Brahmana acted as the marriage maker of the Lord in Chaitanya Leela. 1:330-334. Following the indications of Sachidevi, Vanamali Ghataka arranged the marriage, and thus, in due course, the Lord married Lakshmi Devi. Vrindavan Das Thakur has elaborately described all these pastimes of the Lord's early age. What I have given is but a condensed presentation of the same pastimes. The Lord performed many varieties of pastimes in his early age, and Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has described them elaborately. I have given but a single hint of these pastimes. For Vrindavan Das Thakur in his book, Chaitanya Mangala, now Chaitanya Bhagavat, has described them all vividly. Right, so he's just mentioning something, and then from having heard and knowing these, then you'll remember. So it acts as an udipan for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the details you'll find, they'll all be in the Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Mm-hmm.
Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. In his chapter summaries of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Adikanda chapters 7 through 10, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes. Wow. Okay, cool.
And that's the summary.
Yeah, that's the summary. Yeah, this one's a lot bigger than the Pauganda.
Yeah.
And I mean, than the Kumara.
The Yavana is really long.
Yeah. That's far out. Okay, so then we get it that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has already summarized it. That's far out. Sri Gaura Gopal expanded his various mischievous childhood pastimes. Nimai would give up his mischief as soon as he saw his elder brother, Vishwarup. Vishwarup was renounced since the time of his birth, and he was the abode of all good qualities. Whenever he explained the scriptures, he would establish devotional service as their only purport. He had no interest in anything other than serving Krishna with all of his senses. Although he knew his younger brother was Bala Gopal Krishna, he did not disclose this confidential fact to anyone. Right, so he knew, but no one else. You know, it's just like Balaram. He'll know you know, Krishna's position, but he won't reveal it in the pastime. You know. Vishwarup always remained intoxicated by discussing topics of Krishna and serving Krishna in the association of the Vaishnavas. Seeing the entire world was mad after material enjoyment, the seed of envy for Vishnu and the Vaishnavas were present in everyone's heart, and even the reciters of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam were devoid of devotion to Krishna. The pure devotees, headed by Advaitacharya, began to cry for the pathetic condition of the living entities. Sri Vishwarup even decided to give up worldly life and considered, I will no longer see the faces of such people. Every day after taking morning bath in the Ganges, Vishwarup would go to Advaitacharya's house, where he would explain that devotional service to Krishna is the essence of all scriptures. Sent by Sachi Devi, the child Nimai also went daily to the house of Advaitacharya to bring his elder brother home for lunch. At that time, the devotees practically entered samadhi upon seeing the enchanting beauty of Gaurahari, as it is natural for devotees to be attracted by seeing the form of the Lord. Taking advantage of this incident, the author establishes the devotees' matchless love for the Supreme Lord by citing the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikit Maharaj from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The spirit soul is the life of the living entity, and Sri Nandanandana is the super soul, or the life of the spirit soul. That is why the gopis accepted Krishna as their life and soul. Although Krishna is also the super soul of demons like Kamsa, they cannot understand this due to their offenses. The sweetness of sugar candy is known to all, although due to the fault of the tongue, it may taste bitter to some. The sweetness of the candy is neither lost nor diminished. Right? Just because for some people it's bitter doesn't mean sweetness is lost in sugar. It's still the same sweetness. Just the individuals may not be able to appreciate it. Those who are attracted to the supreme sweetness of Sri Gaurasundar are most fortunate, while those who are not are simply unfortunate. Nevertheless, the sweetness of Sri Gaurasundar is not diminished. Although Vishwarup came home on the order of Mother Sachi, he soon returned to the house of Advaitacharya. Whenever Vishwarup came home, he did not indulge in worldly behavior. Rather, he would pass his time sitting in the temple room. When Vishwarup heard that his parents were arranging for his marriage, he became most unhappy, and then after a few days, exhibited his pastime of taking sannyas. Thus, he became renowned in the world as Sri Shankararanya. The hearts of Sachi and Jagannath, who were in the transcendental mood of Vatsalya Rasa, were greatly pained when Vishwarup took sannyas. And Gaurasundara, feeling separation for his brother, separation for his pure servant, displayed his pastime of losing consciousness. Due to separation from Vishwarup, separation from a devotee, the devotees headed by Advaitacharya began to cry. All the friends of Sachi and Jagannath came to solace them in various ways. Hearing about Vishwarup's acceptance of sannyas, the devotees all wanted to go live in the forest. Dvaita Prabhu consoled everyone by saying, Krishna Chandra will soon manifest before us and mitigate all of our miseries. He will perform pastimes that are rare even for Sukadeva and Prahlad. After becoming pacified, Nimai began to study attentively, and he always remained with his parents. Although Mother Sachi was happy to hear about her son's wonderful intelligence and knowledge, Jagannath Misra was in anxiety because he thought, quote, due to his intense study, his son will also realize that this world is temporary and devotional service to Krishna is the essence of life. Then he will follow the footsteps of his elder brother. After a long debate with Sachi, Jagannath Misra stopped Nimai's studies. Thereafter, Nimai again began to exhibit mischievous pastimes.
There is a saying, Maharaj, in our side, that if you study too much, then you will become like too detached and mad, socially or dysfunctional.
Oh, okay. Well, then you see, when you stop the studies, then that's when they actually got bad.
Yeah, different kind of problems.
We see that in ISKCON as well. We see that in ISKCON as well.
When they stop studying.
When you stop studying, you become socially inadequate or something.
Oh, okay. When you start studying?
Stop.
Stop. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, the whole society's like that. It kind of was, doesn't it?
Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He was giving a broader...
Moving along.
Okay, okay. When you stop studying, you become mysterious. Okay, now I get it. One day, Nimai sat on a pile of untouchable clay pots. When Mother Sachi told him not to sit there, Nimai replied, "How can a foolish person who does not know how to read and write discriminate between purity and impurity? For me, it is all the same." In the mood of Dattatreya, Mahaprabhu continued to instruct his mother. "The consideration of purity and impurity is born from the imagination or mental speculation of mundane people. The absolute truth, Lord Vishnu, is present everywhere. And everywhere the Lord is present is most pure. Those who cannot understand that the Lord is present everywhere simply chase after mental conceptions. The cooking pots of Vishnu are never impure. They are always pure. Other ordinary items are purified by their touch. The Lord is never present in a place that is impure or devoid of devotional service." Although Nimai explained all spiritual topics in the mood of a child, Sachi and other relatives in the mood of Vatsalya could not understand those instructions due to the influence of Yogamaya. When Sachi Devi saw that Nimai would not leave that dirty place, she personally grabbed the child's hand and took him for bath. Thereafter, Sachi Devi and others informed Jagannath Mishra, "Nimai is feeling most unhappy because he cannot study." So on everyone's request, Purandara Mishra ordered Nimai to continue his studies. Right, because he's saying, you know, I'm sitting here and the things you say is wrong, but how can an education person know what's right, what's not? Yeah. Yeah. Sri Gaurasundara accepted the sacred thread in a grand ceremony at an auspicious moment, on an auspicious day in an auspicious month. Right, so he doesn't, you know. Then, in order to deliver the living entities, he enacted the pastimes of Vamanadeva and begged alms from everyone. Because at the end of the sacred thread ceremony, then one goes out begging. Mm-hmm. Right? You first go to the mother and beg, because you want your begging to start off auspicious, because your mother is going to give you something like that. You know, others may or may not. So you start off auspicious, then you go out and beg from everybody.
Father, where without you?
Yeah, he may or may not. You know, it's kind of, you got to learn to work for you. You know. Don't be lazy.
Your age.
Yeah, when I was your age. Yeah. Sri Gaurasundara began to study with Gangadas Pandit. So that means before that he was studying.
Yes.
You know, it means learning the letters and everything, because he had the Vidurumba.
Yes.
But he hadn't actually gotten Upanayanam and started his official study.
Yes.
You know, which would have naturally come. So before that happened, then this was done. So it seems Vishrup took sannyas then before that.
I think the two persons with whom he was studying before were the sons of Gangadas Pandit himself.
Well?
Or somebody else. First you study under the sons, then afterwards with the father.
Okay. Yeah, because in the beginning you're just learning how to write, you know, numbers, how to read, you know, these kinds of things like that. So even without the Upanayanam, that's considered fine. But then when you get, then you get serious about it.
Is it like kindergarten
or something? Yeah, like that. It's just, so that, you know, you can learn at home. Parents may teach, some, you know, other relatives or other friends or other, you know, people come in and teach. And that. Yeah, so it's more like homeschooling. So it's not an official that you've taken up, that now you're going to study. Sri Gaurasundara began to study with Gangadas Pandit, who was not different from Sandipani Muni, and the crest jewel among the professors of Navadvipa. When Gangadas realized that Nimai was the most intelligent of his students, he became very pleased. Nimai did not hesitate to challenge even Gangadas's senior students, headed by Sri Murari Gupta, Kamalakanta, and Krishnananda. Nimai would go to the various bathing ghats along the Ganges. Yeah. That's the problem with English, right? Because I started bathing ghats because Ganges. No, but it's bathing ghats, but you can, you know, Ganges. The bathing ghats among the Ganges and quarrel with the other students. After Nimai explained and established the meaning of a sutra, he would refute that meaning and then again reestablish his first explanation. Right? So he would make his point, defeat everyone else. Then he would defeat that. Then he would defeat it again and reestablish his first point. So, yes. Thereby astonishing the assembled students. In order to see Nimai's scholastic pastimes, the omniscient Brihaspati appeared in Navadvip along with his disciples. The Ganges had long desired the good fortune enjoyed by the Jamuna. Horn me. Dor Vilasa Padma Nabha Pada Vandini, who, with folded hands in the form of waves, prayed to the lotus feet of the Lord. Sri Gaurasundara, who is a desire tree, regularly fulfilled that desire of Ganga Devi. Thus Nimai displayed his pastimes of bathing in the Ganges, properly worshipping Vishnu, watering the Tulsi plant, and honoring Prasad. So, yeah. So the same. So he would just establish all the things that were, you know, the practices that we follow. Thereafter, he would sit in a secluded place in his house to study and write a commentary on the sutras. Seeing these activities, Jagannath Mishra was jubilant within, and out of parental affection, he continually played to Krishna so that his son would not face any obstacles. Right, so here he's just beginning the studies, but he's already being able to argue with the senior students, and he's writing his own commentary. So special. One day, Jagannath Mishra dreamt that Nimai was dressed as a wonderful sannyasi and engaged in continual laughing, dancing, and crying while chanting the names of Krishna, surrounded by the devotees headed by Advaitacharya. He saw Nimai sit on Vishnu's simhasan and place his feet on everyone's head. The demigods, led by the four-headed, five-headed, and thousand-headed lords, all chanted Jai Sachinandana and offered prayers from all sides. Then he saw Nimai dancing in the streets of Navadvip, followed by millions of people. He also saw Nimai going to Neelachal with his devotees. After seeing this dream, Jagannath Mishra was convinced that Nimai would leave home, and he became filled with fear and anxiety. Sachidevi, however, solaced Jagannath Mishra, saying, "The way Nimai is engaged in studying, he will never leave home and go anywhere." Like, he's so absorbed in his studies, so that he'll be fine. Right? Shortly thereafter, Jagannath Mishra left this world. As Sri Ramachandra cried when Sri Dasarath left this world, feeling separation from his devotee, Sri Gaurasundara also profusely cried at the disappearance of Jagannath Mishra. Thereafter, Nimai solaced Mother Sachi in various ways, saying, "I will give you that which is rare even for Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva." One day, before going to take bath in the Ganges, Nimai asked Sachi Devi for some oil, an amlaki fruit, a flower garland, and some sandalwood to worship the Ganges. When Sachidevi requested Nimai to wait a bit, Nimai became angry as Rudra and began to destroy everything in the house, including the doors and windows. Being the protector of Sanatana Dharma, however, the Lord did not raise his hand against his mother. After breaking everything, Nimai began to roll on the ground. Thereafter, Sachidevi brought sandalwood and a garland for Nimai's worship of the Ganges. As Jashoda tolerated all of Krishna's mischievous activities in Gokula, Sachidevi similarly tolerated all of Nimai's mischievous activities in Navadvip. After Nimai bathed in the Ganges, returned home and ate, Sachidevi said to him, "What did you gain by smashing everything in the house? What will you eat tomorrow? We have no more provisions at home. In reply, Nimai told his mother, Vishwambhara Krishna is the only maintainer of everyone. His devotees do not need to worry about their food. Saying this, Sri Gaurasundar, the husband of Saraswati, went out to manifest his pastimes of study. When Nimai returned home, he gave 20 grams of gold to his mother and said, Krishna has given this resource. You can exchange it for whatever household provisions we need. Sachidevi thought, whenever there is a shortage at home, Nimai immediately brings gold from somewhere. Like that, 20 grams of gold. That's serious, no?
Good enough.
Yes. Hmm?
Good enough.
A little less than right, 1 ounce of gold.
Yeah, but that's like, it's like 6 lakhs of rupees. No?
No,
no. Huh? 80,000. Still, that's not bad to bring home to buy some groceries.
For one day.
Yeah.
For one day.
Yeah, yeah.
In 1500, 500
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm just saying, it's kind of like, no, it's okay. It's enough.
It's okay.
And in those days, household items are very cheap, not like
now. Yeah, they'd be cheap. And also, you know, it'd work. Sachidevi became afraid as she thought, I don't know, perhaps some problem will arise. Thus, Sachidevi first checked the gold with 5 to 10 people before exchanging it for her household necessities. Right? Just to make sure he didn't just pick up some rocks or something. Nimai remained always engaged in discussing the scriptures while taking bath, eating, and traveling. He did not disclose himself due to the fallen condition of the world. On the order of Sri Gaura Krishna, Sri Anantadev personally appeared in the village of Ekachakra, in the district of Radhadesh, from the room of Padmavati, the wife of Hado Oja, and Sri as Sri Nityananda Chandra. In the wake of his appearance, all the prevalent inauspicious symptoms were totally uprooted. After finishing his morning duties, Nimai Pandit and other students came and sat in Gangadas Pandit's classes and debated with each other. Those who did not want to study under Nimai were not supported by him. Rather, he showed them the bad results of studying independence of his guidance. Observing that Murari Gupta was not studying under his guidance, Nimai once jokingly told him that it was better for him to treat patients than to study grammar. In this way, he tried to arouse his anger. Rather than become angry, Murari, who is a plenary portion of Rudra, challenged Nimai to test his knowledge. The debate between the Lord and his servant began. The Lord was greatly pleased to hear the explanations of Murari, who by the Lord's mercy was most learned, and placed his lotus hand on the body of Murari. At that time, Murari's body was filled with ecstasy and he thought, such extraordinary knowledge is not possible for an ordinary human being. There is no one in all of Navadvipa as intelligent as he. He then said, O Thakur, now I will study only under you. After sporting in this way, Nimai went to take bath in the Ganges with his companions and then returned home. Yeah. So, because we've also, Murari is also known as Hanuman. Because he's also is a plenary portion of Rudra. Yeah, so it's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing out for which, or, you know, the pastime. So, Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Sama Veta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.